Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, we have a couple new additions to the show today I'm very excited about. Rich Esteropoli, and you know, I saw Rich the other day and on Fox News, and he is retired Secret Service and a Fox News contributor. And I said, man, I'm impressed with this guy. Let me reach out to him and see if I get him on the show. And you're seeing Rich Esteropoli on the show right now. So thanks so much for being on the show. Appreciate it. We actually have a Secret Service story as well. And now we also have Jim Orr, retired FBI. He actually is in the Tampa area with me as well. We run in some of the same circles. So thank you so much for being on the show, Jim. Not that the FBI is not in the news at all either. So you're gonna get some work overtime. Yeah. And then we've got Dan Dela Cruz. He's got the coolest name of anybody that's on the show today. And because you know, remember, bad guys have three names, but Dan's got four, you know, just to give you a preamp. He's with Compliant Technologies at compliantechnologies.com. And my favorite product, they have a number of things, but my favorite product of theirs is called The Glove. If you go to their website, you'll see all kinds of videos with Dan showing off The Glove. And I saw the demonstration in person and the expletives that came out of the mouths of people that don't cuss. Yeah, the product is pretty convincing, and there's no lasting effects. It gets you to comply, and you will do whatever he asks you to do, I assure you. So thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. Appreciate it. A shout-out to our sponsors. Gall's our title sponsor, Complex Technologies, Dan's company. They're our satellite sponsor, and thanks to them, we're on our fourth week of satellite radio right now. GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout-out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com, Ray Dietrich, the former lawman.com, and also LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. Now, let's go in and whet the appetite. What in the world are we going to be talking about today? We've got Tom Homan. He calls for AOC's bluff. We did it. I'm waiting on the consequences. That is a humorous story, but a serious one at that, involving ICE and a threat they received. Also, we got Supreme Court tosses a ruling against Minneapolis officer in the George Floyd riot case. So we finally have something that the pendulum swinging back to the back to another position involving the Minneapolis case involving George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. We've also got body cam showing Guthrie police officers fatally shooting an armed guy during a welfare check in a parking lot. And yeah, that's going to be interesting because we're going to be talking about Dan Dela Cruz's product, The Glove from Compliant Technologies, on that one. And also a wild video, a Miami cop fires through a windshield and he shoots a driver while clinging to the hood. And it's a wild story. We've got a Twitter video, an article, two female Secret Service officers getting a fight outside Obama's home in footage obtained by a Twitter feed. That's pretty interesting. So we'll do the breakdown of that. Baltimore officer releases body cam video, or Baltimore police release body cam video from a fatal shooting on a suspect who actually shot at police. And then as time permits, we'll get to some other stuff. But that's the immediate lineup for today. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and jump in to the main story involving Tom Homan, you know, our border czar. This is from rvmnews.com, Red Voice Media News. Homan calls AOC's bluff. We did it. I'm waiting on the consequences. And there is a video component to this as well. You can see it at RVM News. But the former Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director, and now he's, of course, the current border czar, Tom Homan, he responded on Tuesday evening to recent threats that were made by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez following the arrest and charging of a Democratic lawmaker for allegedly, and there was video of this, but they still use the word allegedly, interfering with federal immigration enforcement operations. Now, when he was appearing, I'm talking about Tom Homan, when he was on the Laura Ingraham angle, Fox News host, you know, they were talking about Ocasio-Cortez's prior comments warning of consequences if the Trump administration officials, including, you know, our border czar, laid a finger on any Democratic lawmakers attempting to obstruct ICE. And here's a quote saying that, remember, just a couple weeks ago, AOC went on social media saying, if we put a finger on any of her co-workers, Congress people that were at our Newark facility, there would be consequences. And that's what Homan said. And then he continues, well, guess what? We did it. I'm waiting on the consequences. And Holman's remarks were made after the arrest of Rep. LaMonica McIver, and she was charged with earlier this month with assaulting and impeding federal officers during a confrontation outside the Delaney Hall ICE detention facility, and that is in Newark, New Jersey. Now, it goes on to say that, and there's footage, remember this as well, it reportedly shows McIver, the one arrested, physically confronting officers by swinging her arms at them while attempting to interfere with the agency's operations, so the normal operations of the office. In a previous social media video, Ocasio-Cortez had warned that any action against Democratic lawmakers involved in these kinds of incidents would be met with backlash. And it gets better. Here's a quote saying, "You lay a finger on someone, on Rep. Bonnie Watson Coleman, on representative, any of the other representatives that were there, you lay a finger on them, we are going to have a problem," according to Ocasio-Cortez. And then Holman, unfazed by this rhetoric that's going on, dismissed the threat with sarcasm, saying, "I'm extremely intimidated," and he's kind of joking, and adding that the New York Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez was full of something that he did not want to elaborate on. And he reiterated that federal agencies will continue to pursue legal action when lawmakers obstruct immigration enforcement. And he said that when you cross that line, we will ask the attorney general to prosecute, and that's what we're going to do. So on that note, guys, we're talking about ICE, and, you know, are there different phases of prosecuting people and charging people, or are there different levels of the system of justice? Rich Scarapoli, why don't you start us off?
Hey, listen, this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as she's commonly referred to, she's a complete idiot, right? This is the girl who, when she was at Boston University, you know, was probably getting tanked up every Friday and Saturday night. And then when campus security showed up, she was probably the first one yelling at them about how, you know, she pays their salary and they've got to get off campus. And they acquiesced to her and let her do what she wants. Somehow she becomes a New York congresswoman, and now she's claiming what? There's going to be repercussions for federal agents. Tommy Holman, and I hope he goes out there with his people, they need to lock this one up. This is out of control. This has got to stop. This is no different than what James Comey did last week, right? AOC, Comey, this McIver, they know what they're doing. And while they may not personally lay claim to doing any of this stuff, what happens is they start inciting other people to do these things. And this is why you've got people in the streets of New York, Boston, all over the United States, Chicago, laying hands on cops. It's because of idiots like this that are making these kinds of statements about how, "I don't care what the federal agents are doing. I don't care what the police are doing. There'll be repercussions." Well, you know what, lady? Bring it on. We deal with this every day, whether we're a cop in uniform or we're a federal agent in a suit and tie. Bring it to us. We're going to lock you up, and that's going to be the end of this. And with Pam Bondi now at the Attorney General's office, right? You've got Jeanine Pirro in D.C. You got Alina Haba up by where I am in New Jersey. This nonsense is going to come to a halt very soon. Enough's enough.
You know, if Fox personalities keep making it over there and getting in the DOJ, I don't know if they're going to have to close the doors or not, because we're losing Fox people like they're going out of style right now. So,
well, but hopefully I can, you know, maybe instead of becoming the five, it'll become the four, and I could be one of the anchors. But who knows? We'll see how that goes.
I like the way you think. So let me ask you this. You know, Rich, law enforcement, the guys I run into, the guys I roll with, they absolutely love Tom Holman. What is the vibe that you're getting from law enforcement? And I know you're more at the federal level, but what's the vibe that you're getting? What is the take on him?
Big fans of Tom Holman, right? Tommy Holman is, as far as I'm concerned, should be the police commissioner in every state in the union, right? The guy's fantastic. Not only is he capable of talking the talk, because he's excellent in front of the cameras, which is half of the battle. But this guy can go out and actually get the job done, because this is a guy who came up through the ranks. He knows what needs to be done. He's not going to put up with any nonsense. This is old school policing. This is what was needed in New York during the 80s to turn the entire city around. This is the broken windows policing. And Tom Holman is just the guy for that. Whether he's in a uniform or he's in a suit and tie, right? That doesn't change what he's doing. This guy is fantastic. And the uniform cops love this guy.
I totally agree. It's my experience as well. I'm glad that he's holding, at least verbally, starting off verbally holding her accountable. And she's eating crow right now, right? I mean, she's, she's taking some huge hits. And I would love to see it go to the next step, as more of a deterrent for other people that want to follow suit with what we're seeing from Comey and the likes of AOC. So I totally agree with what you're saying, and you get it. I just hope that the other side gets it sooner than later. So
Well, that's right. I mean, how much longer can you allow this to continue? Now you've got congresswomen like this MacIver in Newark who claims that, you know, it's her God-given right to storm that prison and go get these idiots out of prison, right? The minute she laid hands on that cop, she should have been locked up. I think those guys exercised tremendous restraint in not grabbing her and cuffing her up immediately, right? Great job on their part. This woman is nothing more than some thug that somehow managed to get elected and thinks she can say whatever she wants and just bogart her way into places. When did this happen? This is unacceptable. And again, it's something that has to be shut down immediately because it incites other people to do the same thing, which leads to all these other stories that we could talk about, you know, all day long and all during the course of the week, right? It's people winding up other people that are on the fringe of doing something, and this can't be allowed to continue.
And obviously, if it would have been either one of us, I mean, or anyone on the show or anyone listening to the show, you know, there would have been no hesitation. We would have been prone down on the ground, handcuffed and hauled off to jail. So and successfully prosecuted. So and rightfully so. So
and part of the reason for that is we don't do we when I say we, I mean, those of us in law enforcement, whether you're former or active, because we have real jobs, we've got families, we've got things to do. There are repercussions if one of us gets arrested or gets into an altercation with the police. So this stuff never even occurs to us. Yet the other side seems to think they can just do this, get away with it, say and do whatever they want and just walk away because who cares? You know, especially if you're a congressperson, right? It's at this point, they've got a job for life for the most part. So they'll do whatever they want. And we've seen this.
You know, there is something to be said, Rich, for, look, we're coming up in a commercial break, and I'm just seeing that. So, look, commercial break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our favorite title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources, right? And if you're looking at online, the possibilities are almost endless. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to gauls.com, and they'll do you one better. For the loyal listeners of this show, they're going to give you a code that you can use when you purchase something at gauls.com. It's radio15, and that automatically gets you 15% off your next purchase, and that is good until June the 31st at gauls.com. Again, that code, it's radio15, and they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card to be your new best friends. That is at gauls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we left off talking about Tom Homan, our new border czar, and a threat from AOC, and he didn't take that lying down. In fact, he said, hey, we did what you told us not to do. Now we're waiting on those consequences you were talking about. Dan Dela Cruz from compliantechnologies.com, you are up.
Hey, I just want to say I agree with everything Rich is saying. I would love to say all those things Rich said, but he does it so eloquently, I don't have to say anything now. So great. Thanks, Rich.
I'll tell you what, we'll stop letting Rich go first. How's that?
Oh, he said it much better than I could have said. He understands to get that point across. I might have been a little bit more gruff in it, but everything he says is spot on for me, and great delivery for me, and I don't have to say anything to go with that.
You know, Rich, sometimes people, there's nothing wrong with this, but sometimes people, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, seeing it or hearing it to get it. And what I mean by that, I mean, man, we have a tendency to be visual creatures, but there's sometimes when you present something and it's well organized and well articulated, the light bulb goes off and I say, wow, everything I just heard, like an example for what you just said, the light bulb goes off and say, wow, it is so accurate, so true. And sometimes it takes that little that word picture that you provide in order for the light bulbs to go off for a lot of people that listen to the show, like even Joan Johnson saying scary. I don't know if she was fully aware of the extent of the condition that we're in right now, but the light bulbs are going off. So thanks for the way that you articulated everything.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you want to see something scary, I'll give you a great example. So not too long ago, my daughter, who's almost 30 years old, by the way, needed to go from Brooklyn to the Javits Center in Manhattan. So she had to take the subway in. So I said, hey, I'm going to go with you. And she says, I don't need you to go with me. I go, no, I'm going with you. So I get on the subway with her. We end up at the J Street Station, which is a huge hub where a lot of different train lines meet and take you all over the city. It looked like a Moroccan bazaar down there. There were people selling everything from oil lamps to M&Ms to, you know, magic carpets. You got a guy at one end of the platform, you know, he's cutting up mangoes. There's another guy at the other end selling, you know, Cokes that he probably just stole off of a Coke truck making a delivery. And nobody says a thing about this, you know, and you'll wonder why people are getting thrown off of the train platforms. We've got to get back to the basics and let the cops do what cops do, right? If you ask anybody, what does the fire department do? They know what they do. They put out fires. But you ask somebody, what does a cop do, especially a uniformed cop? And they give you 50 different answers. Well, we're everything from social workers to this. No, you're not. You were there to do one thing, enforce the law, preserve the peace, and protect the public. That's what you're there to do, right? We've got to get back to allowing these people to do this.
Wow. All right. Well, I agree. Agreed. Well, guys, jumping in, we've got another story. It's from Twitter, and I'm going to kind of go out of order here, if that's okay. On Twitter, there's a Twitter channel, Colin Rugg, and there's a video attached to this, too. We have two female Secret Service officers. Now, notice I said not agent, officers, not agents. They get into a fight outside Obama's home in footage obtained by this channel, RC Politics. Now, the incident happened, they say, at 2:30 in the morning on Wednesday. The fight took place after one of the females was upset, according to the article, that her shift replacement was late. And the video is good enough to tell that there appears to be a fight with two women in uniform and they're being separated. But it's dramatic. Look, in the law enforcement world, we know these things can happen, but there's also an argument that we're held to a higher standard, too. Rich, I know this is your world, retired Secret Service, so I'd love to get your input on this to start it off.
Well, look, what you see speaks for itself. It actually happened. You had two members of the Secret Service Uniform Division. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., they're more commonly known as the White House Police. They provide uniform security presence at the White House, but they also provide security at the different embassies and missions throughout D.C., which is, you know, partly where these two folks were. They were at the former residence of Barack Obama. And apparently one of them shows up late for the shift, doesn't relieve this other one in time, and they end up brawling in the street. You know, why does this happen? It happens because, look, the Secret Service doesn't have a recruiting problem, and I won't speak for Jim Orr, but neither does the FBI. It's not a recruiting issue. You know what it is? It's a hiring issue. You keep lowering
standards.
Bring the standards and hire people who have never had a job before, who you don't give the opportunity to members of the military who have done things under pressure, all right, who have experienced, hey, maybe I've got to work a little bit more than 8 hours. Maybe it's 8 hours and 15 minutes. I'm not going to brawl with my fellow. This is what leads to these types of things, right? And the problem is, unlike a bigger agency like the FBI, right? Keep in mind, the FBI at one time in New York had more agents than the Secret Service had in the entire Secret Service, right? So this [S2] Wow. [S1] Is a small agency. You keep hiring people who don't meet basic standards physically and mentally, have never been challenged in any way whatsoever, and make them a Secret Service agent or a Secret Service uniform division officer, this is what's going to happen. This is why these jobs cannot be somebody's first time job, right? You can't absorb people like this to the point where you get overwhelmed and then ultimately these idiots get promoted. Now what do you do? And it just gets worse and worse. It's a cascading effect, and this is the result of that.
Now I got to ask a question to Dan Dela Cruz. If there would have been a glove involved, that fight would have been over a lot quicker, I suspect, Dan.
Well, I assume that both would have had them, so it would have been a very interesting fight. So there'll be a lot of touch and go there.
Yeah. But, you know, in law enforcement, look, but, you know, it's funny. Look, over my 30-year career, I've seen a lot of things. And some things are not meant for the public to see. However, we live in a different day and a different age, and you have to assume that everything is being filmed. And as in this particular incident, I doubt for a second that they were aware or even thought that this would be filmed, but it was, and it was released, and now there's going to be, you know, some fallout for it. Dan, final words?
I'll just touch base a little bit on what Rich said, since he said it so eloquently. Let's just look at those qualified individuals that got into that fight. If you actually watch that video, how good were they at fighting and controlling each other? Neither one of them had enough. It looked like they were at a ball game, two women fighting at a ball game. Those are supposed to be skilled individuals. The skill of their confrontation shows the skill that they're going to
perfect have. Timing. We have a commercial break coming up, though. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from hidden threats. And that's where MITEQ, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MITEQ provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Now, their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. Now, when it comes to safety and when it's non-negotiable, trust MITEQ to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. And if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up actually today, it's Plainview and Plainville. That's May the 29th. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Again, go to bluethegold.com and sign up today. bluethegold.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and we're joined by Rich Deropoli, and he's retired Secret Service, Jim Orr, retired FBI, and Dan Dela Cruz. He is with Compliant Technologies, and of course, my favorite product they have is called The Glove. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to go to Compliant Technologies and check it out. So look, in talking about our last commentary, we had an update article we had a video involving some Secret Service agents that were females that were having a little scrap outside Obama's old residence. Any more commentary on that, guys? Are you ready to move on to our first story with a video component? One of our main stories, Jim Orr.
Well, I would say that I teach law enforcement from all across the country, and without exception, all the law enforcement agencies across the country are having a difficult time getting good candidates. A lot of it's the liberal media putting out all this anti-police rhetoric that caused people to turn away from law enforcement. It's a hostile environment, not just with the people that you arrest, but with the public, the politicians, and all those things contribute to it. But they can't get good candidates, and Secret Service uniform, very different from Rich's position, right? He was a special agent in the Secret Service, so they got much better candidates for that. But for the uniform division, it'd be much like local police departments. There are a lot of people applying that have no business getting in. HR people are all about numbers. So, for instance, I did polygraphs for the FBI at the last part of my career. Rich did them for a while into Secret Service as well. And, we always had, they were always complaining HR about, we need bodies and you're shooting down people. Shooting down the bad people. All right, but they want bodies. And so then you end up with people like the two that were in that fight with the Uniformed Secret Service.
Good point. Good point, Jim. Well, guys, let's go to the first. I know we had the one we just talked about with the Secret Service was a video component, but let's go to our first main video story. And, on this one, this is a perfect application, I believe, for the glove. It's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam shows Guthrie officers fatally shooting an armed man during a welfare check in a parking lot.
Go, go. Dude, come on, man, don't. Central, shots fired. He just tried to run over 44.
And so listen to how this thing goes down. Guthrie, Oklahoma, it's 2:40 in the afternoon. It's the middle of the afternoon. Guthrie police officers respond to a call involving a guy that they think is armed, and he's threatening self-harm or suicide by cop. He was later identified as a 54-year-old named David Allen Dunford. He was found sitting inside of his black pickup truck. Now, officers, they try to de-escalate the situation. They're trying to get him to come out of the car or the truck peacefully and assuring him that their goal was to help him. But Dunford repeatedly refused to comply, as most bad guys do. He tells the officers that he had a firearm and that he planned to use it to provoke them. Now, officers, they end up deploying pepper spray. They tried to get him out of the car. Now there's a struggle. And during the struggle, he puts the truck in reverse, places two officers in immediate danger. And one officer ended up being hit by the vehicle's door and thrown to the ground. The officers then have to open fire. They fatally strike Dunford, and they're unable to revive him. So he dies. There's a search of the vehicle, reveals a sawed-off shotgun, a fully loaded magazine, and another loaded handgun. So that's the way that goes down. And, you know, when I saw the video involving this, the first thing I thought was, is if they just would have had a product like the glove, especially it shines in like vehicle extractions. I'm sorry, but it I mean, that's where we have, I mean, it seems like every week, Dan, we're having cops getting inside cars and they're going for the free ride, you know, and then a lot of times they have to shoot the guy. And now we're talking about a libel issue involving the agency and the officer. And I think it could arguably be avoided if they just simply had some additional tools. Dan De La Cruz.
I agree completely. We've pulled many a person out of a vehicle that didn't want to come out of a vehicle. It's a pretty simple process now with using our tool. This was a situation, and you knew at the end of it, if when the public gets a chance to watch this video tomorrow, they'll see that the officer didn't want to shoot this individual. That was not his goal. He was upset when it went to that point, but he physically couldn't get him out of the car because just grabbing him and trying to pull him, they just wasn't working. But if they'd have had our tool, I believe the individual would have jumped out of the car probably. Away from any danger and away from the no firearms, those were in the car, away from the car, which is a lethal weapon. He would have been on the ground and he'd have been safe, and the officers would have been safe. And that officer wouldn't have to go home tonight and be bothered that he couldn't de-escalate the situation far enough. He was forced to do what he did. He did the right thing. He did what he was supposed to do, but that's not what he wanted to do.
Good point. And you know, there's things like, well, when you're fighting inside of a cockpit of a car or a truck in this case, you know, there's a safety issue because you really don't know what is around. The bad guy knows where everything is. If there's a gun on his right side, if he's sitting on it under a seat in the glove box, whatever, but you don't know. And you're in tight quarters too. And then the optics, if you're using pain compliance or strikes and stuff, the optics are not that great. And you're giving the bad guy time to plan his next move or to throw the car in reverse, that door's open, catching people. I mean, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're getting in a situation where if there's a product available that will help you avoid a libelous situation or maybe the use of deadly force, and you don't employ that product and you don't have it and you don't make it available to your officers, you'll eventually reach a point where the courts are going to say, you know, you had this tool, you knew it was available, or you knew it was available, you didn't make it available to your troops, and now the agency has a liability, or maybe even the officers might not be able to pass through qualified immunity to get there. So there's a lot of factors that come into place, liability not being the least of which, you know, the least important of those items. So Jim Moore.
Yeah, when I was a police officer, I never reached into vehicles because of that. They can drag you along with the vehicle. You don't know what they have inside the vehicle. You know, we always took certain precautions on vehicle stops because they were one of the most dangerous things that we did, most unpredictable things, that and family trouble. And, you know, so you'd stop short of the door so they couldn't open the door into you. You didn't reach in because they could then drag you away. And you wanted them to have to twist around in order to, if they did have a weapon or something, and you can't just walk up with a weapon out on a vehicle stop. But if I'd had a product like the glove, you could quickly reach in, put it on their arm, and immediately they're going to be subdued, so they don't have a chance to react to that. So it would have been a phenomenal thing to have in those circumstances.
Well, thanks, and I totally agree. Well, guys, you know, one thing I can say, if we didn't have cops reaching in cars, we'd have a lot fewer videos to cover and stories to talk about. So I don't think we have to worry about that going away anytime soon. So. If you guys are ready, we have another story with a video component. Let me just say for our Audible listeners that are watching this by podcast or radio station, you know, some of these stories have video components. Obviously, we can't, you know, show them to you during a live show. And if you're listening audibly, it doesn't matter anyhow. You're listening to the Audible version of the show without the video component. But please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to Rumble channel the very next day, because at 9 o'clock in the morning. Producer Will produces a special version of the live show. He'll embed every video that we talk about as we're talking about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them. It's a unique way to watch a show. That happens Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's the previous day's show. So it's really a great opportunity for you guys. Now, moving along, we've got another story with another video component. And this is at rvmnews.com, wild video, and it's in Miami. You know, you can always count if it's going to be a wild video. I can always tell you it's either going to be Miami cops or NYPD. Rich may or may not agree with me on that, but that's just my experience. Even at Police Week, if there's something going down, it's always the Miami and the New York cops, Rich. I'm telling you, at Police Week in D.C. So Miami cops, it's a single cop. He fires through the windshield and he ends up shooting the driver while clinging to the hood. It's a crazy video, and it starts off with action from the get-go. So a Miami police officer fires multiple shots to the windshield of a moving car while clinging to the hood. This guy is straddling the hood lengthwise across the center of the hood all the way up to the windshield, and he's got the gun in his hand, in one hand pointing at the windshield, and he ends up firing through the windshield at the bad guy driving. So the car's moving, and it's in the middle of an intersection that's heavily trafficked as well. And so this happened on Sunday in front of Bayfront Park, and this was in the New York Post. So cell phone footage, so it was taken by a civilian, obtained by Local 10 News. It shows this officer, he's got a reflective vest on, like a green vest. He's holding onto the hood. It's a black BMW, and he's aiming his service weapon through the windshield. And at least three gunshots are heard in the video as the car begins to turn in the intersection, and it ends up coming to a stop and allows the officer to jump off. But again, our driver, 21-year-old Manelik Clark, he ends up jumping out of the driver's door, and he flees. He pretty much walks away. It almost like he acted like he was just like kind of trying to like blend in with the people that were around. He ends up complying with the officer's commands. He lays on his back before rolling over for another officer, and they put him in handcuffs and stuff. But that's the way that goes down. There's a couple more things about this I'm going to get to, but we're coming up on our next commercial break. So, guys, I'll just go in and whet the appetite. According to Miami Police Assistant Chief Armando Aguilar, I'm no fan of him, by the way, Clark was shot several times and transported to a trauma center. The involved officer sustained minor injuries and was later released to the hospital. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, retired ATF, he's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you know, you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And you know what? We left off talking about a wild video from Miami. We've got it. I mean, the video starts off with action. We got a Miami cop on the hood of a bad guy's car. He's going through an intersection, and the cop ends up firing multiple times. I think about three shots is what I heard through the windshield. Actually hits the bad guy. Bad guy jumps out of the car when it comes to a stop in the middle of the intersection, and he goes walking off and finally starts complying with officers' commands. They end up arresting him. And there's some more information saying that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement is now going to be doing the investigation. And then we've got a Sherilyn Clark. She was the driver's sister that was in the car as well. She claimed the officer directed traffic, appeared to wave them forward before positioning himself in front of the BMW. Now, he had a traffic vest on, so that makes sense. He was probably doing traffic control. The patrol officer We were all, this is according to her now, the patrol officer, we're all stopped. We're in the middle lane. He told everyone else to go with his hand, and then he stood in front of my brother's car and shot him. Well, obviously from the video, we know that's not what happened, but she disputed the claim that her brother attempted to strike the officer, stating that it was not intentional to hit him. No, the man moved with the car as he was going around him. I feel like he was wrongfully shot multiple times in his vehicle with no weapon. And of course, Rich, how many times do we hear a different story from the bad guy or the surviving family?
You know what, though, when I hear stories like this and I listen to the actions that this guy took after the cop fired the three shots through his window, this tells me this guy's been a guest of the police previously, right? This guy probably has a pretty good arrest history. This guy's a complete moron. Who's driving down the street? Somebody in a reflective vest is directing traffic. Maybe you want to pay a little more closer attention to what you're doing and where you're going, right? You don't just blow through a construction site or whatever it may be, some cops directing traffic. And let's keep something else in mind. The cops, no uniform cop dictates the circumstances that he responds to. This cop was trying to do the right thing and direct traffic. The guy driving that car is what forced that cop to take the actions that he took. But nobody wants to mention that, right? What do we want to do? We want to put the poor sister on TV and let her say, yeah, this cop had nothing better to do. He's directing traffic. He pulled his gun out and fired shots into my car. Get out of here. That's not how this happened. Total fabrication. She should be locked up too.
Yeah, you know, I got a cop laying across the hood of my car. I think I'm going to go ahead. Dan Dela Cruz is giving you the old air clap there. He liked what you said, but I got a cop laying across the hood of my car. I think I'm going to be hitting the brakes and stopping and doing whatever he tells me to do, especially when he's got a gun pointed at me. I'm not going to push that issue.
Well, it should never get to that. So what does that tell
you? Why don't we just do what we're supposed to do when we get to the traffic? He doesn't have to be on my hood to listen. He's just got to be standing in front of me, pointing me in a direction. I go, thank you, sir. And I go that direction. That's a little simpler. Everybody.
Yeah, well, New York's, you know, had it tough anyhow. A lot of people just don't want to comply. And well, you know, let's face it, like, you know, Rich alluded to this earlier in the show, talking about it's almost gets contagious when other people are doing things and getting away with it. And then more people want to jump in and they get the idea they do it and they start following through.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Right. But, you know, this thing's got to. The only thing they want to show on TV is the snippet of the cop laying on the hood, holding on with one hand, firing rounds into the guy's windshield. But hey, how about the 2 minutes that occurred before that led up to the cop taking this action? And what are you supposed to do? Just let this guy careen through this traffic and do whatever he wants to do? Again, it comes down to people need to be held accountable for their actions. Unfortunately, this cop was forced to do something that no cop ever wants to do. Because look what he's going to be tied up with investigatively for the next, you know, year or so while this thing gets sorted out.
Yeah, this police officer didn't just jump on the hood of this car or stand beside the car and shoot this innocent person. He was on top of the car because a guy came at him with the car and he didn't have time to avoid it. He ends up on the hood. Once he's on the hood of that car and a driver is not stopping the car, then that driver is willing to hurt or kill that police officer. He keeps driving with a police officer hanging on the hood of his car. He's driving a deadly weapon. And that police officer at that point did what he had to do and did it well and ended the problem. But it's not something, like Rich was saying, it's not something he chose to do. He's reacting to the situation. And that's what put him in a position of being on that hood. Once he's on that hood, any driver with common sense and no criminal leanings is going to stop their vehicle. They're not going to try and drive away with a police officer on their hood. So, especially when he's pointing a gun at you, you got to know what's going to come next.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Excellent. Excellent commentary. I tell you what, we've got about a little less than 5 minutes. I think we have time to do another story with a video component. If it's okay with you guys, I'm going to jump down to the Baltimore video. And rumble.com, this is Butter again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We got a Baltimore cop and Baltimore police. They released this body cam video from a fatal shooting on a suspect who actually ended up shooting at police.
You better put it down, bro! I'm gonna shoot you! Put it down! Put it down! Put it down!
Drop it!
So Baltimore, Maryland. So we've got this fatal police shooting. It happened last week. Baltimore Deputy Police Commissioner Brian Nadeau said that on Wednesday afternoon, detectives noticed that there's a guy, a man that is sitting on a moped and he lifts up a shirt. It implies that they saw a gun when he did that. Officers approached the man in the afternoon on May the 12th, and the guy ends up running off. And typical stuff with bad guys. The video shows the man holding a gun in his right hand while he's running away. Baltimore Police Commissioner Rich Worley said that investigators think that the man fired the first shots as the officers, he fired them at the officers, including two rounds that ended up striking an occupied police vehicle that was on the route that he was running. Preliminary information indicates that the officers who returned fire shot as many as 24 rounds. And I wonder what the hit rate was. And it goes on to say that Jai Mark Howell, 26 years old, he ended up dying from the shooting. He ended up having a ghost gun with a loaded magazine. And Howell was wanted on an attempted murder warrant out of Baltimore County. So that kind of gives you a little peek into why he was running away. And just going from my show notes here, it says that just 14 seconds into it, the suspect ends up firing his first shots at police and at that vehicle while he's running from cops. And then he ends up being taken out by gunfire, and cops fired at least 24 rounds. They do a slow motion with zoom at the 27-second mark. And it also shows an officer clearing his jam. I put down with conviction. It was pretty impressive. But we had two officers clearing jams during the shoot, which made me question. That's highly unusual. And I don't know if it's an ammo problem. I don't know what the answer to that is, but it's unusual for a jam in the first place, Rich, but clearing two jams in a shooting. I know that we had 24 rounds shot, but it seems a little unusual to me. What do you think, Rich?
That's incredibly unusual. But, you know, since you mentioned it, I'll just take a minute to remind any cop that's out there listening, whether you're a cop in uniform or a federal agent in a suit and tie, you got to check your weapons, right? Make sure those things are clean, oiled, and functioning. And that's why you've got to get up to the range and you've got to recoil, because the one time in 25 years you may need that weapon, you don't want to be that guy or both of those guys that have to clear the weapon because of a jam. Could it be the ammo? Sure, it could. More likely, it's maintenance issues due to, from that weapon. Or keep in mind, those two cops are chasing the guy while they're running down the street with their guns drawn in their hand. There could have been some sort of issue with, trigger pressing or some sort of magazine issue, something like that. But it's a good reminder for the cops out there, check your weapons, make sure they're well maintained and they're functioning.
Well, thank you. Guys, any other commentary on this? It's just a incredible video that you don't get to see like this. And the video quality is getting better and better. Jim Moore.
I spent 20 years in Baltimore at the FBI, and I worked the Violent Crime Task Force and the Violent Crime Fugitive Task Force there. And when it had the dubious distinction of being the murder capital. And yeah, unfortunately, there was a lot of that, people willing to shoot the police. As far as the malfunctions, I think a common denominator could be rounds. Maybe they got some inexpensive rounds or something, or more likely something Rich alluded to is you're running, you can't lock out your arms. They didn't lock out their arms and had a kind of a limp wrist malfunction, but quickly cleared. You play like you train. So that's why it's so important to train, practice clearing malfunctions in order to, be able to stay in the fight.
Yeah. I mean, and these guys, they did it conventionally, right? I mean, obviously the two jams you worry about are double feeds and stove pipes, and this, the double feed is the one you really don't want to get. It takes longer to clear, right? But these guys, they were Johnny on the spot, did it, and it didn't really, it wasn't too big of an issue for them. So it was nice to see that they obviously have had some level of training, some decent training in doing that and repetition. So that's good. Guys, 10 seconds out, but hey, what a fantastic show. Rich Steropoli, retired Secret Service, Jim Orr, retired FBI, Dan Dela Cruz with Compliant Technologies. And guys, if you haven't checked out the glove yet, go watch Dan and these videos at ComplianTechnologies.com and check that out. It's pretty spectacular. I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that is helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you also can get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars4cops.com. So please make sure that you check that out as well. And, you know, as we said earlier, please support our sponsors, guys. They go to great lengths to make sure that this show is available to you guys. And we have our title sponsor, Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor, or ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and also Two Bells. Go to our new online store at LeoRoundTable.com, and they got some really cool gear. Thanks, guys, for the support. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.